You're listening to the In Demand podcast. Don't forget to follow In Demand on Twitter. Twitter.com/AlexandLucy. You're listening to In Demand.
Hello, I'm Alex from In Demand, and thank you very much indeed for downloading this marvellous In Demand podcast with a little bit of a twist. It's a special edition. Next week, it's the Brit Awards 2011. A lot of the guys who are nominated for the Brits this year have passed through In Demand Towers, and in this podcast, we are looking back at some of our favourite chats with the nominated artists for the Brits 2011.
In Demand.
This is In Demand. I'm Alex.
I'm Lucy.
And we welcome Plan B to the show. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
How you doing?
You get a little round of applause on this show.
Yeah, man.
We're all right. How are you?
I'm all good, man. All good. Just on tour, you know, just being focused, being quite relentless. It's only a small tour, but we ain't had a day off so far. So, a lot of Jack Daniels drinking.
And peppermint tea
during the day, trying to preserve the voice. I'm just hoping that I don't lose it before the London show tomorrow.
I'm sure you won't. Just drink like a pot of honey as well. Just get that down.
I've been eating honey, mate. Living off Jack Daniels, Coke, peppermint tea, honey.
That sounds good. Yeah.
Liquid dinner every night.
It's a good diet.
It's quite rock and roll
it's
as well.
It's called the Betox diet.
The Betox. I like that.
It's
going to be a book out in time for Christmas, maybe.
How did you know, man?
That's his next project.
That's a top secret, man.
Ruined it.
Now, let's talk about the success of the single She Said, and of course the album as well, doing amazingly well. It's massive.
It's great,
did you
man.
Expect any of this at all? It's literally just crept up out of nowhere, hasn't it?
No, you aim to make a piece of art that I don't know, the masses will be into, innit? I want to be misquoted there. I guess every piece of art you make, you think it's brilliant, right?
Of course you do.
And that's why you've chosen to put your skills to that one project. And, you know, I want to make it the best it can be. And I know that it being the best it can be, a lot of people will like it. You know what I mean? So, I've worked hard at doing that. You know what I mean? I made an uncompromising soul record. You know, the way I make hip hop is not kind of made for radio. You know what I mean? That's the way I like to make hip hop. So I kind of figured if I made a pop rap record and I took out all the things that make me Plan B as a rapper, then that would be me kind of compromising, you know. And I just figured with soul music I don't have to compromise, you know.
It's a good time of year for a bit of soul music as well, because like normally around this time of year I'll get all the old Otis Redding albums, that kind of thing, and have a listen to that, and it's just a nice time, you know, timing
is just luck, isn't it? I guess, you know, I've worked hard to try and get the album finished, and I was given deadlines, and I guess I reached those deadlines, and you know, time usually is not a friend of mine, but the way this has happened, you know, you need a little bit of luck on your side, and the momentum's just been picking up, and literally everywhere I'm going now, I'm getting recognised. Like since the album's come out, it's gone crazy. You know what I mean? And even after Harry Brown, like, I was getting recognised, but not as much as this. So I guess that's a sign that things are getting pretty big.
And going well.
Are you comfortable with being recognised or not?
Yeah, I am. Do you know what it is? Like, I can't say no to photos and signatures. I can't say no. Sometimes I have to say no, because sometimes, you know, I need to be somewhere. Do you know what I mean? But I just can't, because I don't want people to think I'm being arrogant. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's usually what kind of it's, you know, if I'm going to do something, it slows me down or makes me late. It's usually something like that.
Lucy was chatting to you before about, you were chatting to us about Harry Brown.
Yes.
Lucy's seen this quite recently.
I loved it.
Came into the office and was like, Alex, you've got to see this film. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's emotionally amazing. Like, literally, you cannot be failed to be pulled in by, it's like an emotional upheaval when you watch it. It's brilliant. You get to play a bit of a nasty character, or completely nasty character, if we're honest. You're kind of the backbone of the film. But what was it like working with Michael Caine? It has to be asked. It's probably your most asked question, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, I mean,
what a legend.
Do you know what? Just to be in a film, be associated with him, to be on screen up alongside him, you can imagine, anyone can imagine how that feels. I don't need to explain it, you know what I mean?
I'd be speechless just meeting him, let alone acting alongside him.
It's just like one of the proudest moments of my life, I guess, or periods of my life, you know. When you're doing it, it's just normal. You know, I remember in rehearsals, we was in this studio in L Street, in this kind of hangar studio, and they'd put white tape along the carpet, and the tape was supposed to signify the walls of a tunnel.
Yeah.
You know, where we do the scene where we're shooting each other. And they gave us these toy plastic guns, see-through plastic, like red and blue plastic guns that made sound effects and had lights on them when you pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
And so we're running through the scene and Michael Caine's like running towards me with a toy gun. He's making a sound effect and a little flashing light on it. But we're all acting like proper serious.
Yeah.
And it was just surreal. I was just thinking, this is actually crazy.
Was it like a bit of a dream? Like a weird
dream? Yeah, it was just like, yeah. And so there are moments where you think, like, I can't actually believe where I am. But then it becomes normal. And it's only after the event, it's only after the film's out, you know, and it's well received and all that, that you can actually look back and go, you know what, I'm really proud of that. You know what I mean?
How did you end up calling Kanye West an effing idiot?
I know, man. That's
He has behaved like one in the past. I'm going to stick up for you. I like him, but I think he behaves like a bit of an
idiot. I remember the interview I had, and we touched on a lot of different things. And the problem is with tabloid newspapers is because I'm not that exciting enough for them when I talk. When they ask me questions, I answer the questions seriously.
They want scandal,
right?
Don't
yeah,
they?
Exactly. Right. And so I remember talking for a very long time about the album, a load of different things. I remember being, you know, asked certain questions like, you know, have you, you know, just like, oh, has any kind of fun stuff been going on? You know what they're kind of fishing for.
Yeah,
like
any, you pushing know, you in a
yeah,
certain
yeah.
direction.
And the one thing I think that whoever I was talking to got out of what I was saying was I was explaining about Strickland Banks, his character.
Yeah.
And about how he's like someone who always said he was going to make it. As soon as he decided he wanted to do music, he said he was going to make it. Mm-hmm. You know, he knew he was talented. And he did. He made it like that. Bang. And suddenly he's this big star. And I was saying it must be really hard for people that happens to keep their feet on the ground. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm.
And I said, like, you look at, you know, people like Kanye West, yeah? You know, you've got to have a certain amount of ego to do our job, to do what we do. To have the determination and the belief in yourself to do it.
It's part of being a performer.
Yeah, and if you, let's say you come straight out of school and you go, I want to be a musician. You start writing songs, producing, whatever, and then suddenly, straight away, you get signed and you're rich and you're famous and everyone, you know, loves you.
Yeah.
It must be really hard to stay grounded. And I said, and that's why, you know, he's going up on stage like a f***ing sorry.
And, right.
and doing that to you know, to a young lady who's just won an award. I just thought...
That was out of order.
He's even admitted that, you know, he'd done it. And he'd done it before
Black Eyed Peas.
No, he'd done it... No.
He did do it before.
Justice.
That was him. Yeah.
He'd done it before there, you know what I mean? And it's like, okay, they're geezers. They can take it on the chin.
And
even
they're
though,
amazing.
Yeah, and then, but then he does it to, like, a young girl. And, you know, I ain't having a go at him on that because he's already said sorry. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I used it as...
An analogy.
Yes, right. I used it as that, and in something we was talking about Strickland Banks, and it was very brief. Mm. And then obviously, then I read it in the paper, and then it's like a big blown up thing. Like I've called up Daily Star
and had a rant
and gone, yeah, like yeah, basically, I think Kanye West this, da da da, and you know what I mean. Like when I read it, I was just like, you know what, I'm not gonna name drop or make analogies using anybody else's name ever again because my music is going to sell itself and I don't need to be, you know, slagging people off in the paper and you know, I don't need any of that press, man.
Okay, now before you go, let's talk about your relationship with Noel Clarke because obviously Adulthood, 4321 as well. We met him at the Empire Awards, didn't
we?
And top bloke, top geezer. Do you two sit down together and share your ideas? Because obviously he's kind of got his, you know, he's got different talents himself as well.
I think... me and him are very, very much alike and have strong visions.
Yeah.
And it's like one of them things where creatively, I remember on set, I had to give him his space. Like, you know what I mean? But obviously, I was always seeing things like, oh, we could do this. This would be sick. You know what I mean? But I realised that, you know, he's about as hands-on as me, you know? And I'm so hands-on. Yeah, I can listen to other people's ideas, but if I got a vision, it's usually hard for me to explain how great that vision is, and I just need to be left alone to do it. So, with him, if he calls me up and asks me to be an actor in his film, then that's what I'll be, an actor.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I kind of keep my ideas and opinions to myself, unless I'm asked, you know.
Maybe it could be a future project between the two of you.
Maybe we'll see, man. But I reckon he's proved himself, and I haven't, you know what I mean, as a director. So I think it would take me you know, completing my first feature film and it, hopefully it doing well,
mm-hmm.
in order for kind of him to kind of look at me. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah. maybe then yeah. you could sort of talk about directing
I need to make money. He's made his name. I need to make my name. And then, you know, then we can be on equal terms if you ever do anything like that.
Thanks very much for your time, mate.
Thank you.
Best of luck with everything that you need it. And come back again.
Well, thanks for having me, man.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Don't forget, the In Demand podcast will update on Friday night. Make sure you subscribed and you'll get the best of the guests every weekend. You're listening to In Demand.
This is In Demand with Alex and Lucy. Tonight we've got Marcus and Winston from Mumford & Sons.
Yay!
By the way, you're our third awesome guests of the week. This is awesome week.
Yeah.
Okay, who are the first?
So
two?
Far this week, we've had Tom Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, he is awesome. I'll show you a photo of me with Tom. No, it doesn't work because it's radio, but I've got a wicked photo.
Amazing.
Show us it.
How amazing is Tom Jones?
He's ridiculous. A sick dude.
He did a session for us as well. Yeah.
Did you see the ring he had on as well?
No,
he's got a ring with the Welsh dragon on. He's stayed to his roots.
Really? Has he?
Last night, for the first time ever this year on UK radio, we had all members of Scissor Sisters.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Together.
That was nice
as well, actually. Yeah. They were on form, weren't they?
Yeah, they were good fun.
Because I saw them at Glastonbury. They performed with Kylie. But actually, I worked at Glastonbury this year, did parts of the show from there.
Worked.
It was hard work because it was hot.
The only work was you had to walk across the site.
Yeah, it's a big site.
Yeah, it's a massive site.
Oh,
huge.
My heart,
it's
like walking across. I couldn't go.
Your set was the first set I saw at Glastonbury, so it was like the relief of finishing work and actually seeing you guys.
Nice.
But it was nice because you were really humble, because like a year ago at Glastonbury, you said on stage that you played one of the tiny stages.
Yeah.
And then you were on the John Peel stage.
Yeah, it was amazing. We'd been away for a while before that as well, because we'd just been on tour quite a lot. And that was our first UK show since like March or something, which is the longest period of time we hadn't played in the UK since we started the band. And so coming back playing that show was amazing. But it was wicked.
Did you stay over? Did you like camp?
Yeah, we did. We stayed.
I like hearing
we stayed
stories
for a couple,
like that.
A couple of days.
I saw you a couple of times walking around, actually.
Did you?
With Laura.
Why didn't you come and say hello?
Well, like, it's really geeky, isn't it?
Alex!
I'll remember next time. You'll be like, who the hell are you? I don't remember who you are.
He embarrassed himself in front of Professor Green, though.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Is Professor Green the rapper?
Yeah. So he interviewed him like one day, and then you got up the next day, you walked past him, didn't you? And just shouted, yo, pro!
Across the field.
Wow.
He sort of looked shamefully and waved. And then I saw him again about 2 months later and spent half an hour drunkenly apologising for it and trying to explain why I'd done it. So I'll do that to you next time I see you. I can't say yo pro. No, I will. I'll say yo pro.
Okay, say yo
and then you'll know it's me.
Great.
All right?
Great. Or just be like, all right, Marcus. I'll be like, all right.
yeah, just be normal.
It's much easier.
Just be normal. Walk up to him and say hi.
That's a deal. Mercury Prize. Let's talk about that. You were robbed.
Yeah.
No.
We were.
Not at all.
We were.
I've listened to the XX. They're all right. But
brilliant.
Yeah, but it's a bit...
Well, you don't like it. You're entitled to your opinion.
I like your music better.
That's just opinion then.
I like their music better.
Have you heard of the Arcade Fire?
you're big fans of them, obviously. Was the night itself a good night? Was it an epic one like last night?
I mean,
we were the last in the bar.
Yes.
Which we were really proud of.
It's an achievement, though, every time. Yeah.
Some of the biggest rock stars in the country. You beat Paul Weller.
And we were also minesweeping all the tables at the end because everyone had left.
Always.
All their free booze.
Yeah.
Idiots.
When will the new album be out? You're going to reissue this one.
Yeah, I'm going to reissue this one. And then
has it got new stuff on it?
And then everyone does reissues.
We're going to do a double album.
Your record company
to make money.
Reissuing your album.
Where it's like one disc and then the second disc is just the first disc backwards.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a vinyl.
But you've done
so
new...
You
fast
done, forward.
You did new, you've done new songs, haven't you, on
the
this?
Same album 50 times.
On some of the shows.
We've been playing for about 4 new songs a night. Yeah, trying to keep up the new songs. Because that's how we started as a band, really. We started by just playing new songs pretty much every gig we played. And so...
One you did at Glastonbury had an electric guitar in it.
It did.
That frightened me.
It did.
Amazing.
Screaming
what
Judas.
What do we do?
Will you come back in a year and do this again?
Yeah, it would be really nice. We would like that.
And
we'll come on your TV show.
Yeah. I'm going to text Giles and sort it.
Yeah. TV show in the bag.
Cool. Good luck with the show tonight, the rest
of the
tour.
Thank you.
Enjoy your time off. Mumford & Sons, thank you.
You're listening to In Demand.
This is In Demand with Alex and Lucy, and tonight,
yes!
Cheryl Cole is here.
Yay!
Hello!
Hello!
How are you?
I'm great, you?
Yeah, really good. We've got something prepared for you.
Okay.
Right.
You're going to cringe. Here we go.
Oh.
Alouette. Cheryl, that song is stuck in our heads.
Good. That's what we like.
Honestly, when we first heard it that night, I text Alex just saying, Alouette. And he texts
so
back.
Many people say to me, yeah. Oh, the song. I woke up this morning and yes. It was in my brain.
That's what I was about to say. Literally, in the middle of the night, you wake up and it's spinning in your head.
It used to do that to me too when I first recorded it, but I think it's part of the excitement.
Where the hell did it come from?
Yeah.
It's French.
Isn't it a nursery rhyme or something?
Yes, do you remember that nursery rhyme? Alouette, gentil, alouette.
Oh!
It started from that.
And how did you make it into a song? You must have had a genius team with you.
There is the most amazing songwriter called Priscilla, who is a young girl and completely gets me and has the most amazing brain ever.
Because it's like an explosion of a song when you first hear it.
Yeah, that's how I felt when I first heard it as well. Exciting.
Yeah.
Felt excited.
And a lot of three words was quite understated. And when you came out with this single, we were a little taken aback because we were expecting the same kind of R&B sound. But this is just a huge in-your-face pop song.
Mm. Yeah, I love pop music. I mean, R&B is like a theme, I think, that I have throughout the albums. But pop is my favourite genre of music.
And the video that goes with it as well, is it harks back to the 80s a little bit in the sense
scenes.
Of it's all very dramatic, it's all quite dark as well.
It is dramatic, yeah.
We love the bit where you're at the doorway just pointing at the man and it's all kind of like...
You will do what I tell
strong.
You.
Yeah, exactly. It's strong, I think. It's quite a strong lyric when you think about it. When you translate the French, it's saying, be prepared to have your wings plucked.
Yes.
So it's quite a strong song.
It's a girl power statement.
Yeah, it is.
We love that.
Yeah.
Now, the rest of the album, of course, you've got some really good collaborations on there, including Travis McCoy and Dizzy Rascal.
Yeah.
So they are two really different people, aren't they, when you actually work with them?
Yeah, no, completely. And a lot to do with culture, you know. Dizzy's from England and Travis from America, so they're coming from different places. But I love that. It gives the album diversity.
Yeah, Travis
and I have Will on there.
And Will's on there too.
Yeah, my favourite.
Look at you racking up all the collaborations.
We loved him. We loved Will.
I'm very, very lucky.
You are luckiest girl in the world.
Very lucky.
At Judge's Homes when Will was there, just with his sort of silvery handbag. Just kind of
his man bag.
His man bag.
His merce, he calls it.
His what? His
merce. Is it a merce? Yeah, man purse.
I love that.
Oh, I like that.
Merce. Yeah, he's always got to have something different.
Right, let's touch a little bit on X Factor. It's just incredible series so far.
Yes.
What I would love to know, aside from your category, the girls, if you could choose one of the other categories to take, which one would you be more comfortable with?
I would have one from each. Am I allowed to do that?
Oh, yes.
You can create your own,
I think I would have, at this moment in time, Mary from Louis.
Yeah.
I would take Matt from Danny.
I love that.
And I would take One Direction off Simon.
Yes, good girl, good girl.
And then I'd be in with a pretty hellish shot, wouldn't I?
Yeah, you'd be like, I've got it made.
Yeah.
I think we thought that the second you were giving the girls, we were like, she's got it in the bag again.
Do you think so?
I think it's yours or Danny's, but then I don't know because Simon's got One Direction.
I think it's a pretty full-on competition this year from each angle, but I do think May 4 are the best.
Of course.
Yeah.
They're also different to each other as well. You've got Cher her cutting-edge sort of style. Katie, we're not really sure who she is yet, I think. But that could be a good thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a good thing. And I've been speaking to a lot of people this morning and everybody's got a really strong opinion on her. So some people say to me, I just love Katie, it's about Katie. And some people say, I just don't really get what she's about yet. So
she's very interesting.
She's interesting.
At the moment.
Or if she wasn't, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got Tracy, who's just got this powerhouse of a voice.
Yeah, just a natural, powerful voice.
And Rebecca.
They're all and Rebecca, who's just got this distinctive, unique sound and look. And she's just a gorgeous girl.
She's always dressed beautifully, Rebecca, isn't she?
Very stylish.
Yeah, and it's all natural. It's all like, that's how she is. You know, she just is stylish. She is like that.
Of the four of them, who do you think needs sort of monitoring the closest and sort of just looked after a bit more?
They all need a little bit of looking after and a little bit of love and and attention and, you know, just encouragement. It goes a lot. I think everybody in everyday life just need that little bit of encouragement. So it's intensified when you go out to 20 million viewers or however crazy
that
is.
Yeah, it's mental.
Well, Cher's so young as well, isn't she? Yeah. But she's fierce.
She's a fierce little thing, yeah. She's a little character. She's strong and she's street, so she's street smart, you know. She's not this fragile little teenager that people make her out to be at all. She's a tough little cookie.
It's I like someone went into a factory and cloned you. It's fantastic.
Do you know, I do look at her and think, God, you on me when I was 17.
Yeah, look really pretty and quite little on the outside, but you're fierce underneath. You don't take any crap.
And just the music, the style of music we listen to, you know. I get her. I know some people don't, but I really get her.
Are we going to see her singing a bit more? Because obviously she's done a lot of rapping. She's done a odd bit of singing, but she's got a lovely, really unique sounding voice.
She can really, really sing. Just sing. So when you know, it's tough sometimes because there's themes too. And we want to show everybody everything she can do. And she wants to be a little rapper one day. So I kind of want to, you know, I want to mold that for her. But one day, one week, when the theme suits, I'm going to just let her stand there and just show everybody that she can really sing.
Oh, bless her.
Well, now there is actually an actual clone of you in the world. You've got your own waxwork at Madame Tussauds, Cheryl. That's when you know you're a megastar.
Yes.
It's the weirdest experience I've ever had in my life. Just looking at myself, made in wax.
They've done a good job, to be fair. Some of them you see and you go, it sort of looks like them. But I was looking at it this morning going, they've done really well. Obviously, you can tell it's wax. But,
you do real sitting. You know, you sit there for hours and they take the dimensions of your face and they do like points on you. I have to hand it to them. But, you know, sometimes the work they put in is a little bit overlooked slightly.
It takes a long time.
Months and months and months. So I really, really appreciate it. And it's crazy that I've got a wax wig, but it's a little bit odd and hard to take in.
Well, you just sit there staring at it going, hi.
I'm just staring at it. I was going to say staring at her. I was just staring at it. Yeah,
and
like
you?
Looking at myself. Like, is that me? Is that what I look like? And I standing back, standing forward. I looked at myself from the side. I looked at myself from the back of the head. It was just bizarre.
Well, it's weird, isn't it? Because no matter how many times you may need to look in the mirror, you know, doing your makeup or whatever like that, you never actually think that you look like how other people see you.
Exactly. You've hit the nail right on the head. And that's what I was trying to explain to my friends and stuff yesterday. Like, it's not how you see yourself because as a person almost.
Cheryl, thank you very
much. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to the In Demand podcast. The podcast. Don't forget to follow In Demand on Facebook. Facebook.com/AlexandLucy. You're listening to In Demand.
This is In Demand with Alex and Lucy. Tonight, it's amazing because we've got Gary Barlow and Howard Donald.
Yes! Yes!
Here we are. Hey, hey.
It's lovely to have you here.
It's amazing.
It's lovely to be here. Okay.
Let's start with the flood. It's epic and just instantly classic.
Oh, we love it.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Yes. It's huge. Great.
You know what? We haven't really done interviews yet, so it's nice to hear these comments.
Mm.
If anyone doesn't like it, don't tell us.
No one's going to say that, though. The instant reaction to the song, the second we first played it was, let's play it again, pretty much, because we just want it in our lives all the time.
Yeah. You're like England's most famous sons at the moment. Everyone loves you, and you're just, you know, you're part of history now. This is good.
Oh, we're loving this.
20 years, eh?
I can't believe.
25 minutes on this interview.
I can't believe it's been so long. I mean, I remember being, 12, 13 years old, and I went to the first one of your gigs that I ever went to, and then from there on, every single tour was back again and again and again. All the poll winners' pies, everything like that.
Wow.
And then, of course,
you're one of the original fans.
I am, yeah.
Wow.
I used to cry at your concerts. My hormones as a teenager must have been running wild.
You must be 35 now.
No, I'm not that old.
It's a mystery how old she is, gents.
Is it?
Yeah.
And it was rude of me to ask. I'm sorry.
31.
I wasn't far off.
No, you did quite well. But what's so nice about being an original fan, I think for everyone who is to see you guys come back, because we always knew you were great, and then to know that you could get back together years later and now with Robbie as well. How's he settling in being back in?
He's great.
He's actually left, hasn't he, because he's had enough.
He's done.
These interviews have finished him off. He's gone.
Oh dear.
No, it's been great, you know. I mean, for us, it's not such a new thing now because we've been in the studio with Rob for about a year. So the whole bit of him coming back, he's part of the furniture again like the rest of us now. And it is lovely. And it's been dead proud for us to step out this week into the limelight and have our picture tucked together. And it's lovely. I'm really, really looking forward to everyone hearing the record and really looking forward to everyone seeing the tour.
You must have been totally confident that everyone was just going to be unanimous in their, I don't know, excitement for you guys being back together as a five piece. Was there any nerves at all about it from you guys? Obviously, been working together for the last sort of 4 years or so. Bringing Robbie back, did you think there would any negativity at all?
I think you're gonna expect a bit of negativity from the people, from fans, you know, because obviously we've been a four piece. He's been a successful four piece. He's a successful solo artist, so. You're going to get the small minority who are going to say, well, we think it's a bad idea, or I think it's a bad idea that has come in the group. But at the end of the day, I think most of the people are really up for it. We're up for it. And again, me personally, you know, there was a little bit of, you know, I was a little bit sceptical about it all.
Yeah.
You know, thinking, well, is it going to work? Because I don't really know Robbie. I didn't know him in them 10 years. I probably met him once. And
you're not mad on change, you are, you? He's not, though, are you?
No, but anyway. I think it was... I think it actually was okay. When we met over 2 years ago doing the Beautiful World album, we met Robbie back then. And since then, we've been meeting up every time we've been in LA or every time he's been over in England, and that's kind of where the meetings took place back then, and things, you know, friendships just grown and grown and grown, and we know where he's at, he knows where we're at, and it's a very positive feeling at the moment.
I mean, publicly, the relationship between Gary and Robbie is the one that's played out in front of us all.
Yeah.
But we forget maybe that there's three of the boys to consider as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Forget them.
Well, it's really interesting for you to say that, Howard. I think that's
exactly. Because, I mean, the thing is, it's never going to be a bed of roses if you split up and then you guys get back together, and you did so amazingly in your own right as well when the four of you were back together. And, I mean, the circus tour was immense. It was fantastic. And all the albums and everything since. So there is going to be that bedding in. But it sounds like it's almost like you've done it in step by step, haven't you? Which, hence the album title, Progress.
Well, it's needed to be step by step because us four, I mean, we pretty much were out of the public eye for 10 years.
Mm.
And so coming back was quite difficult just to get our heads around what are we and what we're doing here and do people even want us here. And so, you know, it took us a couple of albums to sort of get our speed. And I suppose that was the point, that it was either going to happen or not, because we're at an equal place really now with Rob. You know, he's had success, we've had success. It's a good time for these two things to meet and try and do something together. It's no good when one's bigger than the other. It's the perfect time. It's 20 years since we started this year. What a perfect time it's been.
Now let's talk about the video, because you're there in your tight white shorts, all looking very lovely. And again, the video has that epic feel to it. What was it like filming it?
I think when you see a video, you don't actually know what sort of work goes into it, and it's not as glamorous as it looks, like everything else. But we had a great day. It was the first time we've really worked together and done a video as a five-piece. And it was a straightforward one-day shoot, and it was we had to actually have a bit of rowing training a few days previous to that.
I was going to say, did your arms really ache by the end of the day?
But there's a few little tricks going on in there, so we don't actually see. But we're really happy with the end result, and to work with each other, like I said, it was actually a great experience.
Have you kept the outfits?
I have.
Yeah, have you? Do you wear at weekends?
Sundays.
Oh, nice.
When you're relaxing after a roast.
Yeah.
That's it.
Put my rowing costume on.
It's amazing to have you all back. Thanks very much for chatting to us tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Brilliant. Thank nice you. To talk to you.
Gary and Howard, thank you.
Yeah.
See you now.
You're listening to In Demand. Discover In Demand online. There's always a chance to win. Indemand.fm.
This is In Demand with Alex and Lucy, and tonight we welcome back Ellie Goulding to the show.
Hooray! Hello.
Currently stuffing you full of chocolate.
Yeah. Excellent. I need it, seriously. I didn't sleep last night.
Oh, there it goes again.
I keep mentioning it, but it's so that you can forgive me for if I'm rubbish.
That's all right. Are you having nightmares or what?
No, just a bit insomnia.
I'll give you a little tip. Chamomile tea is always good before bed.
Oh, I am a tea connoisseur, so
Let's talk about tea.
Horlicks, good.
Because I've recently massively discovered sort of herbal tea and fruit tea and stuff like that. Primarily because I've had a dodgy belly, Ellie Goulding. I'm not going to lie to you.
Have you? So, a dodgy belly?
Yeah.
So What's that from?
I've been having peppermint tea quite a lot.
How did you get the dodgy belly, Alex?
I don't know. It's just been a little bug that's been around. So what's your favourite tea that you can recommend as soon as you're a connoisseur?
My favourite tea is there's a Clipper tea called Sleep... I think it's like Sleep Infusions. It's called like Sleep Easy or Sleep Infusions or something. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a whole mixture of things, including chamomile. And it's so lovely. It's like fruit teas can be horrible.
They just eat fruit.
I don't like the thought of hot fruit, so... I don't like fruit drinks, but this sleep tea, I'm such a nerd, but this sleep tea has just the right amount of fruit in it that's not too overpowering.
So we need you to get your energy back because the V Festival is imminent.
Yeah,
I know.
So we're looking forward to seeing
you
there.
It's going to be a good one, that is. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. The crowds at V are always brilliant as well. Are you going to go and see Peter Andre, who's now been added to the bill? That's the question.
Yes.
Are you?
What time is he on and I'll be there?
He's half on at 12:30 both
days.
Oh,
my God. Definitely watching
him. How weird is that?
Oh, definitely watching him.
When we heard he'd been added, we were like, is that a typo? Nothing against him because he's amazing. I love Peter Andre. But at V Festival, Peter Andre, hello.
Do you know what? He's got some fans. He has got some fans.
He's got more than his ex-wife.
You know, he tours. Oh, no, I like her.
I want to like her, Ellie, but she keeps doing things that make me dislike her.
Do you know what? You're the same thing. And do you know what? I still try and like her. I still think she's funny and she makes me laugh a lot. And she, do you know what? She's had some stick and she's just a good example of someone who's really taken it all, you know.
It's like Teflon, though. It just wipes off her, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think that's brilliant. I'm sure she does have sort of, you know, really dark moments because she gets a lot of rubbish, doesn't she? But I kind of just respect her for making so much money from sort of
getting her boobs out.
Boobs.
Yeah. And, you know, if you can do that, then fair play.
I do respect her for that part. I respect the fact she's made loads of money from, you know, doing what sitting there and going, hold on, I've got a nice pair here. I'll start by doing that. And then she's just gone on and on and done other things.
Yeah.
Now, you've spoken quite at length in the past to lots of different people about the possibility of working with Cheryl Cole. But now, apparently, we've heard you're working with Tiny Temper as well.
I've done a track on his album with him.
Is this Wonder Man? Is that the name of it?
Yes.
Awesome. So, how did you get on with him? Because I met him very briefly at the Brits this year on the red carpet, and he was probably one of the nicest people I think I've ever met.
Oh, my God. How nice is he?
Lovely.
I love him so much.
And he's really well-dressed and very polite.
He's wonderful. He's like everything that a musician should be. Just lovely, really positive, really high spirits, really clever, an amazing writer. Mm. And, I gush about him a bit too much, really. But yeah,
no, he is lovely. And his music's amazing, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, oh, of course. I mean, I'm not going to collaborate with a lot of people. He's, you know, it's sort of like I just really believe in him.
Is that what it goes like for you? I mean, because I think a lot of artists, they say, oh, you're going to work with this person, and they go, oh, okay then. But for you, is it more of a personal choice? You actually sit there and say, well, actually, no, I don't want to work with that person. I'd rather work with someone I actually respect and someone whose music I admire.
I'm lucky that I've gotten to choose the people that I've worked with. It's just nice because I guess like he could have chosen anyone to sing on that song, and I just feel quite lucky that he asked me.
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
Now we're a bit worried about you, Ellie. You've already told us you've been suffering from insomnia. We've also read that you've been dreaming about death a lot.
Oh, that's standard.
Is that normal?
Or Stanny G, as my friend says, standard.
Do you ever dream about your teeth falling out? I have that dream quite a lot.
No, I don't actually, but I dream about being shot all the time.
Oh, man.
Sorry to bring it into sort of a weird territory.
But you're fine. You're talking to us, so we know you're
okay. This is like Inception. Have you seen Inception?
Yeah.
The movie?
No, not yet, but don't ruin it because
no,
I
won't
watch it.
Have you seen, what about Toy Story 3? This is
no, I haven't, but everyone told me at my gig last night to watch that.
You should. It's probably the most perfect movie ever made, Toy Story.
Really?
Toy Story 3, yeah.
Is it going to make us cry?
It probably will do.
Amazing.
At certain points, yeah.
Yeah.
We need to stop you from dreaming about death. You need to dream about nice things.
Yes. I do dream about some nice things. I just, for some reason, dream about death a lot. I don't know why.
Well, have an amazing time at V.
And Thank you very much.
We hope you get the wellies. If you remember what they're called, tweet us and we'll just say it on air.
And make sure you get your Peter Andre banner out.
Totally. Oh, my God. I'm honestly genuinely interested to see what he's like. Yeah. I'm going to go watch him.
It's going to be strange. Do you think he's going to pare it down a bit so he hasn't got all the sexy dancers and he's not wearing like an all-in-one red leather suit or something?
It worries me a lot.
He just sort of... doesn't he do like a lot of Michael Jackson songs on his tour?
He's done Human Nature before, hasn't he?
Because I watched... I happened to switching between channels. Definitely was not watching it.
Liar.
It was his program, and he was in rehearsals for his show, and it was his songs entwined with Michael Jackson songs. So
maybe that's a taster of what we'll get to see at V. You're going to be on the front row, aren't you?
Can't wait.
Totally.
Thanks for coming to see us again.
Thanks,
Ellie.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank
bye.
You're listening to In Demand, the podcast. Don't forget, the In Demand podcast will update on Friday night. Make sure you subscribed and you'll get the best of the guests every weekend.
It's In Demand, and tonight we welcome the fabulous and rather gorgeous Mr. Mark Ronson. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. Now, it wasn't so long ago we last spoke to you, when the first single of Record Collection came out, of course. And you're back now with the bike song.
The bike song. We've gone from bangs to bikes, I guess.
Not connected in any way.
Not in any way whatsoever. The videos are connected slightly, but no, there's not. There's no connection between bangs and bikes, I guess.
Okay, now I like the video for the bike song a lot. I mean, it's bikes literally coming to life, helping you fight crime and chase girls. What more could you want from a bike?
I know. I think that, you know, the main concept was that we came up with, you know, people always say that, you know, people look like their dogs. Dogs look like their owners. So we're thinking, like, you know, every person has their bicycle soulmate that can help them fight crime and pick up girls.
Exactly. In fact, Carl from The View, he's wearing like an orange jacket and he's got his big mop of hair and his bike is indeed painted orange.
Yeah, we all match the bikes.
In Demand.
Now, for the first time on one of your records, you're actually singing on this album. Is that correct?
That's correct. I am singing. I wrote a song with Johnny, who's in a band called The Drums, and I think at the time the Drums were just kind of making a name for themselves, and they were worried that maybe if he was singing on my album it might overshadow, you know, the band. Like, he'd be known for singing a song on my record before his band made their name. So I didn't have anyone to sing the song, and I just thought that I would try it, and I kind of am okay with the way it came out. I mean, I think Kyle or somebody like that would have sung it even better, but I think I needed to just force myself and challenge myself to do something different on this record.
In Demand.
Now, it's sort of been in the press recently that you have had a bit of not a makeover, that sounds wrong because you didn't need one, but it's almost like you've changed sort of the way you live a bit and you've got the new hair, that kind of thing. Was it a life transition for you, or was it just a case of, yeah, I'm a bit bored, I'm going to make a bit of a difference with my life?
Just a midlife crisis, I think. Good old-fashioned midlife
really?
Crisis. No, I mean, I dyed my hair blonde because I saw that old... that Boy George... You see that Boy George film, Worried About the Boy, that they did about his life?
I haven't seen it, but I want to see it.
And I remember seeing, like, there's this guy, his old boyfriend, this guy Kirk Brandon, that kind of had, like, this big blonde peroxide quiff. And then the next day I was at a photo shoot and I kind of mentioned it, and they were like, hey, would you mind bleaching your hair for the photo shoot? So, you know me, I'll say yes to anything.
There's a video of that as well, isn't there, online somewhere?
Yeah, but that's kind of annoying because I didn't know anyone was filming, and it looks like I'm some kind of freak that, like, documents everything that I do. And some guy filmed it and put it up online, I don't want to be in a reality TV show. And I kind of find it annoying.
Mark Ronson 24/7.
I just want everyone to know that definitely wasn't me that put that up.
Mark, it's been lovely having you on the show. Thank you very much for coming on.
All right, then.
Take care. Good luck with the tour as well.
Thank you. All right,
see
you soon.
Bye.
Don't forget, the In Demand podcast will update on Friday night. Make sure you subscribed and you'll get the best of the guests every weekend.